This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your support. If you would like to give to Grace Lutheran Church, you may do so by clicking a link in the description of this video. You may also give by going to our website, gracelutheran1.org/give. Thank you for your support. Why do certain scripture readings stay in our consciousness and the consciousness of our culture more than others? You know what I mean. The Bible comes to us not underlined and highlighted, with certain parts being elevated more than others. But we get the whole Bible, and yet there are certain parts of the Bible that are more well known than others. The Ten Commandments, for example, is one of the parts of the Bible. Ask just about anybody in our culture, and they would at least be able to tell you some of the Ten Commandments. But there are many other commandments in the Bible. And there are certain stories in the Bible, specifically the stories of Jesus, that we know better than others, that resonate with us and people in our culture, and they could tell you, even people who are not Christians, what these stories are about. Perhaps it's because there is something deep down that speaks to the human heart so profoundly that we come back to these stories again and again. Today's gospel reading is one such story. The story of the prodigal son is one of the most well-known stories of the Bible, and today we ask ourselves the question, why? The truth of the matter is, this story speaks to our hearts so profoundly because it touches on two things that we all struggle with. And the two things are this: pride and guilt. You see, to understand the story of the prodigal son, you must understand who Jesus was first telling this story to. He was telling it to two groups of people. He was telling it to religious people, people who their whole life had done the right thing, had followed their God's rules, and he was talking to people who were sinners, outcasts from society, who had done almost nothing right throughout their lives. And these two different people struggled with either pride or guilt, that those who had been religious their whole lives, those who had followed the rules their whole lives, struggled with pride. And those who had struggled with sin their whole lives were filled with guilt. And as Christians, we often find ourselves in one of these two camps. Sometimes we feel like things are going really, really well, that we're doing the right thing, that we're following the rules, and it's producing results. And this can help us not only feel blessed, but begin to feel a sense of pride. Feel like the good things that are happening to us, we deserve them. And if someone comes along who is struggling, we look down on them and we think to ourselves, if only they behaved like us, then they wouldn't be struggling. If only they behaved like us, then they would have the same rewards that we have. That what they need is not our compassion and our generosity. What they need is to get their act together, and I don't want to have anything to do with them until they do. Other people, other times in our life, we have struggled. We have messed things up. We have made a mistake, and we are filled with guilt. And like the sinners in Jesus' day, we couldn't imagine that God would want to have anything to do with us. That we feel like our sin is too great for God to ever love us again. But what we learn in this scripture reading is the primary thing that keeps us from God is not the fact that God does or does not love us sometimes. The primary thing that keeps us from God is either our pride and our guilt. In our scripture reading today, we hear a story that Jesus tells called the story of the prodigal son. And in it, a father who is very wealthy has two sons, one older brother and one younger brother. And one day, the younger brother comes along to the father and demands his share of the inheritance. It's almost as if he is cruelly saying to his father, "Dad, I have been waiting for you to die, but you're taking too long. I want my money now. Cash me out of the will. Cash me out of the estate. I want to go on my own way." And the father, respecting that his son is an adult and can make his own choices, gives him the share of the inheritance, and the son goes off to a distant land, and at first everything is going great. He's partying, he's celebrating, he's enjoying more money and more wealth than he's ever had in his entire life. But the scripture then tells us that in the area that he's living, there's a famine. And all of a sudden, all his money dries up. And not only his money, but his opportunity to make more money goes away. And he finds himself completely broke, with no money and no job prospects. The story goes on to say that the only job he could find is a job in which he feeds pigs. And this job requires him to sleep with the pigs day in and day out. He is living not as the son of a wealthy man any longer, but he is living as if he is a pig. And then one night, as he's lying there with the pigs in the filth, having nothing or no money, something occurs to him. That the people who are working on his father's land, the hired hands they are called, have more than enough food to eat. That they're not wealthy, that they're not rich, but they have their needs that are met. And that maybe if he goes to his father, hat in hand, his father will not welcome him as a son again, but his father will let him work the fields as a hired hand. And at least then he'd have a decent meal in his stomach each and every day, and he'd have a roof over his head. So the story goes that he returns to his father, and as he approaches the property, he begins to prepare what he wants to say to convince his father to give him a job. And his father sees him from way out and rushes out to meet the son. The son says that he is deeply sorry for the ways that he has acted, and the father rejoices and welcomes the son back, not as an employee, but as a full member of his family. Not only that, he takes a robe and puts it around his son. He puts a ring on his finger, and he says that he wants to throw a great party. And that he wants to kill the fatted calf, the most prized possession on the property, and throw a great party for his son. Well, the party begins for this younger brother while the older brother is still working in the field. And while the older brother is walking back after a long, hard day of work, he sees this party going on. And he asks one of the other hired hands, "What is going on at this party?" The hired hand tells him that your brother is back and your father is throwing a party for him. Well, this makes the son furious, and he refuses to go back in to the house, go back to the party. When the father gets word of this, he comes out and he asks the older brother what is wrong. The older brother says to his father, "I have been here day in and day out for you. I have never broken a rule. I have never done anything wrong. And yet, you throw a party for my younger brother? When is the last time that you threw a party for me?" The father says to the son, "Son, all that I have is yours. That everything that I have belongs to you. But this brother of yours who was lost is now found. We had to celebrate him coming home." Now, what is the deeper meaning of this story? Well, whether it was the older brother or whether it was the younger brother, neither of them wanted to go home. See, the older brother didn't want to go home because he thought the younger brother got something he didn't deserve. And the younger brother didn't want to go home, at least initially, because he was filled with guilt. But all the father wanted to do was have his son's back in relationship with him. See, at times we are filled with a sense of pride. At times we are filled with a sense of pride that says to us, I'm better than others, that I deserve more than others, that I have a greater sense of belonging in church or in my place of business or in my family or wherever than others because of what I've done. At other times, we feel a sense of guilt. We feel a sense that we've screwed up too much or too long or too badly that God would ever love us again. But the truth of the matter is, whether it is pride or whether it is guilt, all God wants to do is bring us home to him. I remember when I was about 12 years old, we had a day canceled at school because it was deemed too cold to go to school. So we had a day that was canceled because it was too cold to go to school, and me and my friends got the bright idea that we should go sledding. And I remember that we got our sleds, and to be honest, I was kind of haphazard about the way that I got ready. I probably should have done a better job making sure my boots were tied tight, but the truth of the matter is I was so excited to go out with my friends and go sledding that I didn't really care. And one of my friend's moms dropped us up at this sledding hill, and she told us that she'd be back in a couple of hours. And I remember we got out to the sledding hill. We were so excited, and we went down the hill, and I got to the bottom of the hill, and the sled went into the snow, and my boots did the same. And I immediately noticed that there was a problem, that snow had gotten inside of my boots, and my socks were beginning to already become wet. Now, to remind you, this was a day where it was deemed too cold to go not only to school, but probably to go outside. And this was also before the time of cell phones. We had no way of calling my friend's mom or anyone else to come pick us up if we wanted to go home early. And I remember very quickly, my socks began to get wet, my feet began to get cold, and my toes began to get numb. And as time went on, they got colder and colder and colder, so much so till I began to not feel my toes. And I started to get really not only cold, but really nervous and scared that something irreparable might happen to my toes. And all the while this was happening, my friend's mom came and drove by and decided it was time to take us back. I remember getting into that car, asking her to blast the heat as high as it could, and her taking us back to our friend's house. She put on the fire. I immediately took off my wet socks and I put my cold, cold toes in front of the fire until they were warm again. Now, why do I share that story with you? That God wants nothing more than to bring us into the warmth of his love. That all of us find our self in places sometimes that are cold, that are difficult, that are bitter. Sometimes we experience the bitterness of pride, the bitterness of anger, the bitterness of envy, feeling like we deserved more, that we should be more, that we should have more because we are good and righteous people. And other times we feel like we don't deserve to come in to the warmth of God's love, that we don't deserve to be welcomed back into God's fold because of what we've done. But the story of the prodigal son is clear, that God, above all, above anything else he wants, is to for us to be in relationship with him and relationship to one another. I don't know who you are, and I don't know everything that you've done. I don't know what you've accomplished or in what ways you've failed, but who I do know is God. And I know that God, the Father of heaven and earth, gave up his only Son not to die for some of us, but to die for all of us. When we started our service today, and we went through the process of confession and forgiveness, I did not say at the beginning of this service that if you are a person who has not sinned today, this week, this month, or this year, you can fast forward to the next part of the service. You don't need to participate in confession and forgiveness. No, because the Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that means is, in sin, God sees us all the same. That God sees us all have fallen short of the mark, but God doesn't want us to stay in sin. God doesn't want us to wallow there. And God does not want us to judge others for their sin. What God wants us to do is let go of our sin. Let go of our pride and our guilt, which both keep us from being in relationship with God and one another and reunite ourselves to Him. See, God wants us to let go of our earthly identities, both good and bad, and find our identity in the cross. Find our identity in Christ Jesus. And when we do that, when we let go of either our pride or our guilt, God gives us a wonderful and beautiful gift. God gives us the gift of self-forgetfulness. God gives us the gift of self-forgetfulness. You see, so many times when we're filled with anxiety, stress, or guilt, it's all about us. It's all about the things that we have done or we have failed to do. But what God wants us to do is to let go of all of that. And when we let go of all of that, we can instead move from being a me person to a we person. All of us know the importance of being humble. All of us know the importance of humility. But did you know, according to the Bible, humility is not thinking less of yourself? Humility is not thinking, oh, I'm the worst, I'm no good at all. No, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility, as the author Tim Keller puts it, is thinking of yourself less. That once you accept that God has forgiven you, you're free. You're free to no longer dwell on your guilt. You're free to no longer look down on people with pride, but you're free to love others. When Jesus was gathered with his disciples, when he had his last supper, his last meal, he offered them an important word. He said to others, "This is my command, that you love others as I have loved you." That you love others as I have loved you. Remember that God loves you. God loves you not because of who you are, but because of who he is. God has made the choice to love you and never stop loving you no matter what. And God wants us to love others for that reason. You see, so often we decide whether we love others or not based on whether they're good or bad, based on whether we feel like they've earned it or deserved it. But the Christian does not love others because they deserve it. The Christian loves others because God has loved us first. Let me put it another way. That we do not love others because of who they are. We love others because of who God is. So the message of today's scripture is clear. That if you are holding on to pride or guilt, let go of it. Let go of it and return home to God. Return to God, the unconditional, loving Father. Return to God and let him free you from the burdens of your sin and your pride. Let him give you the gift of self-forgetfulness, so you may know that God has loved you and that you are freed in Christ to love others. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder, this scripture reading of what it means to be a child of God, that you are our Father and your greatest desire for us is to be in relationship with you and a relationship with one another. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.